Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Lamentations, chapter 4. Lamentations, chapter 4. We'll read verses 1 through 5 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Lamentations, chapter 4. It's right after the book of Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Again, we'll read this passage responsively. All right. How has the gold become dim? How has the most fine gold changed? The stones of the sanctuary are poured out in the top of every street. The precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold, how are they esteemed as earthen pitchers, the work of the hands of the potter? Even the sea monsters draw out the breast, they give suck to their young ones. The daughter of my people has become cruel, like the ostriches in the wilderness. The tongue of the sucking child cleaveth to the roof of his mouth for thirst. The young children ask bread, and no man breaketh it unto them. And let's finish on verse 5 together. Ready? They that did feed delicately are desolate in the streets. They that were brought up in scarlet embrace dunghills. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much. May we not take for granted what you do for us here. May we realize that probably more happens in this room in one Sunday than most churches in a year. May we please rely upon you and your Holy Spirit tonight as our preacher preaches to us. Change our hearts, change our minds. Father, most of all, change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I announce to you this morning the title of my sermon tonight, Are You an Ostrich? When I did, I heard a lot of snickers, and I would have expected that. We're having a redneck joke contest. I want to thank someone for their joke that they gave me. It says this, you might be a redneck preacher if one of your sermon titles include, Are You an Ostrich? Now, I wouldn't expect this out of a dignified physician. Where's Dr. Zemacki? Are you here tonight? Man, you're more intelligent than this. All right. Point well taken. You know what? You're as sharp as a tack. Twice as flat-headed. Here in Lamentations, chapter 4, we see that God refers to us or someone as being as cruel as an ostrich. I jotted that down one day and I began to study it. I began to look at it. Now, so obviously, this bird, the ostrich, goes back many, many years into history. Let me give you a couple of facts about the ostrich. A male ostrich will grow to a height of between 6 and 9 feet tall. He'll weigh as much as 350 pounds. He can sprint up to 45 miles an hour. Most of them are found on the continent of Africa, down south. He's the fastest two-legged animal or bird on earth. He lays the largest egg of any living creature. One ostrich egg is equivalent to 20 hen eggs. They don't hide. You know, there's this old tale that ostriches stick their head in the sand, but they do not do that. I read and researched many, many books. They don't stick their head in a hole in the ground. What it is an ostrich's head is so small compared to the rest of its body, when people glance at an ostrich that might be pecking at the ground and eating, you can't see its head because the head is so small, it is dwarfed by the rest of his body. body, so when you look out at it and it's pecking on the ground, it looks as if it does not have a head. The head is not much bigger than the neck. So they get this idea that an ostrich sticks his head in the ground, but he does not. The ostrich is not able to fly. It's a good thing. Anything that weighs 350 pounds that can fly, that's bad news. I'm glad cows can't fly, and there's a lot of reasons why. Be hard on the windshield wiper, buddy. An ostrich has two toes, and they're like they have like hook-like feet. And these hooves are very, very powerful. Two toes, one of which is virtually sharpened on the rocks as it scrapes on the ground, and it's virtually razor sharp. And everything I read, none of them worded it exactly the same, but if you get an ostrich mad at you and it attacks you, it'll kick the snot right out of you. The word snot wasn't in any of the books. That's just, I interjected that there. They are my wife's least most favorite anything. She hates them. My wife feels very strongly that ostriches are demon-possessed. She feels like the Antichrist will be an ostrich. I have to tell you this story. Some of you have heard it before, but we were down in Arkansas, and our kids wanted to go to this place called the Exotic Animal Paradise. It's where you drive through, and there's a road, and you drive through in your car, and all the animals are in there loose, running wild. Well, we were driving through there and seeing all sorts of animals, and my kids had purchased up front at the office area these little bags of pellets that you could feed the animals. And so we'd go through and they'd throw it out the window, and there'd come a point, a buffalo would come over to our car and they fed the buffalo, and then this donkey came over. When the donkey came over, everybody rolled up their windows because that donkey came right up to our window. Now, the kids had been throwing over my left shoulder. Now, I was driving. They'd been throwing over my left shoulder these pellets to the animals. I had no idea that somebody had put some of those pellets on my shoulder. Well, this donkey comes over, and I'm thinking that he and I are really getting to know each other. He's coming over, and the next thing you know, that old donkey goes for those pellets and grabs a hold of my neck. By the time he got done with me, I'm the only Baptist preacher on the face of the earth that's ever gotten a hickey from a donkey. I mean, he got a hold of my neck, about sucked the skin off of it. I went for days wearing turtleneck sweater in 100-degree weather trying to cover up them muffler burns. Amen? But I remember the ostriches in this place. That's where my wife got this fear of ostriches. Boy, they came over to the car. They virtually challenged our car. And I mean, they'd cock their heads back and they'd start throwing their feet and hooves and digging in the ground. They were rough looking birds, and you know, you look an ostrich in the eye, it's like looking your school principal in the eye. I mean, it's scary. It is scary. I took my staff and we took a little preaching trip this last week, and we stopped in, we went for preaching and prayer time and Cabela's and every place that means something to God. Brother Guin, where are you? I don't see how I can not find you. Brother Guin, you're the one that had an ostrich sandwich there. Isn't that what you had? And he had an ostrich sandwich. When I was there, I bought ostrich jerky. No, it's like a beef stick, and it's ostrich. Now, they're raising them here in America, but these are wild birds. Ostrich farmers say these birds can be very, very cruel. They can be very, very dangerous. They're able to do an awful lot of damage. You take 350 pounds of muscle, when they come after you, you're in trouble. And they run 45 miles an hour. Now, when something weighs 350 pounds and can run 45 miles an hour, that ain't like your mama chasing you. Well, in a couple of cases, maybe. Let me ask you a question. Do you behave like the ostrich? Are there ostriches in our church? Is there an ostrich in your home? See, the Bible talks about, there in Lamentations chapter 4, the cruelty of the ostrich. And as I studied the bird and I began to get to know something about the bird called the ostrich, now I see why, all the way back in the Old Testament, the ostrich was considered a cruel bird. Because of the behavior of that bird, God said, you shouldn't be acting like an ostrich. Let me show you some things about where the Bible mentions the word cruelty. And things that God says are cruel things. Now, I think there are moments of misbehavior by the Christian, and I think they're bad. But when God goes to the extreme of saying that is cruel, well, that is way, way down there on God's correction of our behavior. What do we find out? Are you like an ostrich? Is there cruelty in your behavior toward people? Number one, are you like the cruel ostrich because of your temper? Listen to this. Proverbs 27:4 says, wrath is cruel and anger outrageous. You know, people with temper problems tend to be cruel. See, when that temper flares up, you say cruel things. Think about it. Usually the cruelest things you'll hear out of the mouth of a person is when they're out of control, acting like an animal. You know, a temper problem is a self-control problem. Just so you get it labeled right means you have bad character. You're not controlling you. It's a flaw. It's a weakness. When the ostrich is mad, what they'll do is they take those powerful hooves and they scrape them in the ground like a bull. They do this. And then they'll start running at you, you know. Watch out! Here comes mama! Get your temper under control. The Bible says cruelty is a result of wrath and anger. You know, Proverbs 11:17 says, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. Let me explain that to you. You know, first of all, it's talking about troubling of the flesh because of cruelty. And people with temper problems and rage problems and anger problems, do you realize that they will hurt their own flesh when they're mad? That's when you pop your fist against the wall, bust up your knuckles, and bloody yourself. Because it really doesn't matter to you when you're in your rage, you're out of control. It doesn't matter to you if you hurt your body. Goodness, is it quiet in here? I'm just going to make this the only point in the whole sermon. But he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. A fist through the wall. The anger, the rage. So you put your hand through the window and it doesn't matter to you that you get cut because you're mad. You're out of control. And you can't control yourself. Are you as cruel as an ostrich as a result of your temper and your rage? Secondly, there's another portion of Scripture that mentions this same word, cruelty, compared to the ostrich. That big 350-pound bird that'll just, they're very hard to fence. If you get them mad enough, they can break through just about anything. Are you as cruel as the ostrich because of your jealousy? The Bible says in Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse number 6, jealousy is cruel as the grave. I won't linger here for long because I just preached a whole sermon to our church just a few services ago about the green-eyed monster called jealousy. But the Bible says here that jealousy is cruel as the grave. Again, here's that cruelty. As cruel as the grave. Why is that? Now, jealousy is envy. The grave, it takes from you, but doesn't really care how it affects you. That's the way the grave is. It shows no mercy. Ostriches are very protective and jealous over their own territory. And they are cruel because of it. Jealousy is envy. I taught you earlier this month that are you jealous over someone else's position? You would be shocked how cruel a Christian can become because they're jealous over somebody else's position in life. They'll get vicious. They'll go for the throat. They will tear somebody else's reputation to shreds. Why? They're jealous. Somebody else got the position that they wanted. Are you cruel in your jealousy? Hey, does somebody else have a possession that you want? You see, there are three things Dr. J. Frank Norris said are the causes of jealousy or proofs of jealousy. You are envious of somebody else's position in life, or you're envious of somebody else's possessions in life, or you're envious of somebody else's personality in life. So somebody has a position you want, and you will become as cruel as an ostrich because you can't have it, and if you can't have it, they're not going to have it. I was thinking when I introduced my son earlier to pray, I have to be careful. I can only brag on him so much because there are people here that are vicious enough that if they wanted his position, they would try to destroy him to get it because they would be jealous that he had it and they don't. Watch out, anybody gets a position around here, there are cruel people that exist. And they're jealous. But not only is it a position, but it is a possession. Somebody has something that you don't have. And you get that jealousy. And then you can become very cruel toward those people because of their possession. Not only that, then there's personality. There are people that have a good personality. There are people that have good people skills. There are people that do very well around others. And people like them. And there are those that have the cruelty of jealousy because they have a hard time getting people to like them. They have a hard time with their relationships. They have a hard time getting along with people. And as a result of it, their jealousy creeps in. And they become very cruel toward people because of somebody's personality. Jealousy is cruel. We're not talking about just a little slip up. We're talking about a lady that lives in jealousy. She's cruel because of it. Are you cruel like the ostrich because of your temper? Are you cruel like the ostrich because of your jealousy? Number three, are you like the cruel ostrich because of your mocking and teasing of others? I don't mind people having a little fun, and we can tell when somebody's having a little fun and when they're not, but you always be careful. Hebrews 11:36, it says, and others had a trial of cruel mockings. God says there are times when people mock and tease, and they become cruel at it. Mocking someone with intent of hurting is cruel. Teasing can become very cruel. Whatever happened to moms and dads teaching their children not to tease other boys and girls? Whatever happened to that? I know growing up at my house, my mom was constantly saying, son, you don't tease people like this. You don't tease people like that. My mother never taught me not to tease blondes. Never tease. Let's make sure that this never develops here at this church. I don't think you ought to tease because of someone's skin color. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. This church is a church for every skin color. You say, well, I'm one color and they're another and I'm superior. You're an idiot. You're an idiot. There are churches that use color charts. Well, that's not going to happen around here. It's not going to happen around here, and it shouldn't happen. You be careful. And that's called cruelty. Cruelty. You be careful ever teasing someone because of a physical handicap. I have very, very little patience with someone that would tease another person that has a physical handicap. You listen to me. If it were not for the mercy and the grace of God, we would all have physical handicaps. And from a good look at your face, you did get hit with something somewhere along the way. Oh, let's be careful. The Bible is talking about cruelty in mockings and cruelty in teasings. I think it is very low that anyone would be cruel and tease somebody that's poor. I don't see how somebody could tease someone that's poor. In my heart and spirit, I can't fathom that. When I see somebody that's poor, my heart is broken. I want to take them out and buy them some new clothes and some shoes, and I want to feed them, and I want to love them, and I want to take care of them. Let's never get to the point where our church becomes so arrogant that we would tease or mock the poor. This is a church that will be a champion for the cause of the poor. Hey, the poor will be allowed to come around here. Hey, it doesn't matter how much money you have at this church. It does not matter how much money you have at this church. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. You know, I'm glad of something. I'm glad I don't have any big buck millionaires supporting me. You want to know why? Because they begin to think they can control you. They think, well, I'll guide the church. No, God will guide the church. And if God ever gives us any big buck millionaires, I hope they'll be humble servants of God and not try to control the church. But I know all of you well enough. I don't think we have any big buck millionaires anytime in the future coming our way. Never tease. God said, there are people that are as cruel as the offering. They're cruel with a violent temper that they cannot control. They're cruel in their life. They're cruel with their jealousy. I mean, it virtually possesses them. And they're cruel in their teasings and mockings. Listen, I think it is very cruel to tease or mock someone because of a failure. Because of a failure. Now listen, folks, we're all going to fail. We're all going to fall short. But to tease or to mock someone that has fallen short, I don't understand that. That's wrong. We're not to tease or mock someone. There are people that have mental handicaps. They don't think as clearly as you, or maybe as I would. I think it's wrong. Somebody would tease someone that struggled with autism. I'll tell you something. Every day of my life, I pray for our special needs ministries. We have here the Sunshiner class for adult and teenage girls who have learning disabilities. We have the class called the Pathfinder class that's for teenage boys and adult men that are slow learners. We have our children's class that is set up by Brother and Mrs. Hart for our special needs children. And every day of my life I pray this. I pray that all those people can come to this church and be treated with dignity. And that never will anyone tease them and hurt them. I pray that the word gets out all over this part of the state, that there's a church where those people are treated with dignity and they're loved, and they're not going to come here and be mocked and looked down on. No, they are God's people and they are God's children, and they deserve to have a church where they can go and they'll not be treated cruelly. I feel sorry for the ones that have to go to schools where they're mocked and teased. Are you as cruel as the ostrich because of your mocking and your teasing of others? Number four, are you like the cruel ostrich because of your hatred? Psalm 25, verse number 19, it says, and they hated me with cruel hatred. Hate is cruel. You are cruel if you hate any human being. You're cruel. You're cruel. You are to even love your enemy. Your hatred is cruel. We are to hate sin, and I do. I hate it with a passion. I hate it. And I'm going to thunder aloud, and I'm going to preach against it, and I'm going to fight it, and I'm going to kick at it, and scratch at it, and spit at it, and yell at it, because I hate sin. Because what sin does to people. Because I love people. I hate sin. But I love people, and that's how it's supposed to be. You're cruel if you hate people. But let me tell you something. Jealousy is usually connected to hatred. Jealousy is almost always connected to hatred. Hatred is soon on the heels of jealousy. And you should not hate people, because the Bible says it's cruel. hatred is cruel to the object that you hate. When you hate somebody, you're being cruel. But not only that, hatred is cruel to the spectator. You realize when you hate somebody, somebody knows that you hate that somebody, and it is cruel for anybody to watch you hate somebody else. Hatred is cruelty to the object. Hatred is cruelty to the spectator. And to be very honest with you, hatred is cruelty to yourself. People that hate, people that have temper, people that have jealousy, people that have these cruel attributes, they're usually a mess emotionally. They're not usually stable people. You need to work on these things because they're cruel. They're cruel. Number five, are you like the cruel ostrich because of your gossip? The Bible says in Proverbs 27:12, the false witness are risen up against me, and such breathe out cruelty. It's cruel to talk bad about other people. Hey, I'll tell you when you'll think that gossip and criticism is cruel. It's when you are the target. That's when you're going to hope that Brother Owen stands up and defends you and throws a fit. Some of you better hope to God you do not reap what you have sown, because one of these days somebody's going to tear you to shreds. One of these days it's going to come your way so fast, hot, and heavy, baby, you're not going to know what to do. Somebody's tongue's going to shoot at you like a machine gun, like you shoot at other people, and you are going to be sorry. There is a verse in the Bible that says you are going to reap what you sow. Oh, the Bible teaches there are people that lash out and breathe words against others, and God says it's cruel. You know, once you say something bad about another church member, you can't retract it. Remember when I preached the sermon called You Can't Regather the Feathers? Took a big old feather pillow up here, and the Bible talks about our gossip and how it spreads to the wind, and you start throwing those feathers everywhere and the wind starts blowing it. There is no way in the world to regather every feather that is spread, and once that thing gets to blowing around, it'll blow everywhere. You can't take the word back, so you're better off not saying it in the first place. I've got to give you an ostrich joke here. A man walked into a restaurant with a full-grown ostrich behind him. And he sets, the waitress comes and asks for their orders. The man says, I'll have a hamburger, fries, and a Coke. And turns to the ostrich. What do you have? I'll have the same, says the ostrich. Short time later, the waitress returns with the order. That will be $6.40, please. The man reaches into his pocket and pulls out the exact change for payment. The next day, the man and the ostrich come back. And the man says, I'll have a hamburger, fries, and a Coke. And the ostrich says, I'll have the same. Once again, the man reaches into his pocket and pays with exact change. This becomes a routine until late one evening, the two enter again. The usual? Asks the waitress. No, this is Friday night, so I'll have a steak, baked potato, and a salad, says the man. Same for me, says the ostrich. A short time later, the waitress comes with the order and says that will be $12.62. Once again, the man reaches into his pocket and pulls out the exact change and lays it on the table. The waitress can't hold back her curiosity any longer. Excuse me, sir. How do you manage to always come up with the exact change out of your pocket every time? Well, says the man, several years ago, I was cleaning the attic and I found an old lamp. When I rubbed it, a genie appeared and offered me two wishes. My first wish was that if I ever had to pay for anything, I would just put my hand in my pocket and the right amount of money would always be there. That's brilliant, said the waitress. Most people would wish for $1 million or something, but you'll always be as rich as you want for as long as you live. That's right, said the man. Whether it's a gallon of milk or a Rolls Royce, the exact money is always there, said the man. The witness asked, one other thing, sir. What's with the ostrich? The man sighs. He pauses and he answers. My second wish was for a tall chick with long legs who agrees with me on everything. The the ostrich, the Bible says. I was reading my Bible one day and I came across this passage about the ostrich. I got to thinking, why in the world would God stick that into the book of Lamentations? And with a little study, I found out why. God was saying, there are some people in life, they allow the sins of life to be repetitive and to become cruel and to become as vicious as a 350-pound bird with razor-sharp hooves, and they attack and they hurt people. They hurt people with their temper. They hurt people with their jealousy. They hurt people with their teasing. They hurt people with their hatred. They hurt people with their gossip. Are you like the cruel ostrich because you're not merciful toward people? Jeremiah 6:23 says, they are cruel and have no mercy. Mercy, what is that? Oh, there could be many definitions, but it is a compassionate pity upon people. Listen, there are times when I see folks who are, they're very short on mercy, and God said that that is cruel when you do not exercise mercy toward one another. You know something? Did you know that even self-inflicted pain still hurts? Did you know that people that knowledgeably go out and mess up their lives are still lonely? Did you know that people who have been taught to do better, who choose not to do better, still, after doing wrong, cry themselves to sleep at night? Did you know that a man that knowledgeably goes out and messes up his marriage and ends up divorced, he is still lonely, he is still brokenhearted, though he brought it on? You say, well, they asked for it. You're cruel. You're cruel. Because even people that knowledgeably make mistakes still have hearts and feelings, and they still have lives that need to be lived for God. Let them suffer. That is not your choice. That's not up to you. You're not God. You don't choose to make people suffer. If they're supposed to suffer, don't worry. God's big enough to take care of it all by His little bitty self. Well, what am I supposed to do? Have compassion? Have mercy? And say, I'd like to help you, and I'll pray for you. That doesn't mean you need to run with them, but it may mean you got to get on your knees and pray for them instead of being glad that they're suffering the pain of the fallout of their own sin. Well, I'll tell you something. I will preach against sin. I'll tell you the difference between right and wrong. I will throw an ever-loving fit about it. But I'll make you a promise. The very moment you step out and you do something dumb or you do something stupid or you step out and you let the devil deceive you, if you'll come see me, I'll love you. I'll help you. I'll help rebuild your life. I'm angry at sin before it happens. But I'm not going to be angry with you after you do something dumb. You come on to me. I'll help you. Hey, let the hypocrites and the negative people, let them just wag their tongues all they want. If you mess up, you come see the preacher. We'll get you back on your feet. We'll give you another chance. We'll rebuild you. It's those people that sit back in the Pharisees. Oh, they're just so perfect. The problem is we just don't know all you've been up to, buddy. The Bible says there are people who are cruel because there's no mercy in their lives. We need to have mercy on the backslidden. We need to have mercy on that teenager. Hey, you say, they were taught to do better. Yes, indeed they were. And so were you. Well, they disrespected their dad. Have you not disrespected your Heavenly Father? And He has mercy on you. If not, you'd be dead right now. I believe in a church that is full of fervor for holiness. And I believe in a church that is full of mercy for the fallen. The Bible teaches that a lack of mercy is the presence of cruelty. We're not just talking about some little piddly sin. God said, it's cruel. Cruel. Does that word is a very harsh word to me. Cruelty. Cruelty. Cruelty as a result of your temper. Cruelty because of jealousy's out of control. Cruelty because of mockings and teasing and hatred and gossip.
Just so you know, I'm not preaching against sodomy tonight. I'm not preaching against drug abuse tonight. If I were, a whole bunch of you would be shouting amen at the top of your lungs and swinging the Bible. I'm talking about the cruelties of the Bible, your hatred, and your gossip, and your temper. And you sit there sometimes, and you think because you've got the outer appearance of a powerful Christian that you're really something. We're talking about what's going on inside you where nobody can see it. 350 pounds of fury. Out of control, acting like an animal. Oh my. Cruelty. Cruelty. Number 7, are you like the cruel ostrich because of cruel leadership? Let me read to you from Ezekiel. The Bible says, the disease have you not strengthened. Neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken. Neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. Truly, this is a passage of Scripture about church leadership. It's talking about church leadership that is cruel. Do you know? Do you realize there are church leaders, pastors across America, that suffer from jealousy? Hatred. What a mess they must have in their congregations. There's not a pastor in America that I am jealous in regard to. Oh, I want my church. I like what's going on around here. I wouldn't trade this church for any church in the world. There are pastors that'll hate one another. The Bible talks about cruelty in church leadership. The Bible teaches that shepherds, did you know a shepherd is one that leads a flock? There's a gentleness that is necessary. The shepherd better get up and throw a fit about mercy at the church. Because if he doesn't, people tear each other to shreds. Why? Because the sin that somebody else is committing, you're not right now, so you think you can shoot at them. Shepherds are to help the people stay gentle with one another. I don't think shepherds are supposed to be sissy. I don't think they're supposed to be soft. I think they're to be strong, but they're to understand the balance of the ministry. You know, did you know you don't drive sheep? You lead them. You drive cows. Drive horses. You know, when you're given an opportunity to serve the Lord around here, its purpose is to grow you. That's what it's all about. If I gave you a Sunday school class, I want you to learn the Bible. I want you to learn leadership. I want you to learn to pray for that class. I want you to learn to visit that class and love that class and serve that class and give to that class. That's my goal. Do you have a numerical goal for my Sunday school class? No, just your best. Just your best. You're there to learn. That's what it's all about. You heard, I preached a sermon here about a year ago entitled, I Will Not Use My People to Build My Work, but I Will Use My Work to Build My People. Don't be a cruel leader. A little love goes a long way. Patience goes a long way. Goodness will go a long way. Humility will go a long way. I was having a conversation with Brother Lyons this afternoon and had this outline already done. He and I talked about this very issue. I know preachers that have this as their motto. I'll either make them or break them, them people down there at my church. Well, around here, we make them or make them. We make them or make them. It's not my job to break anybody, because you're not a horse. We break horses, don't we, Brother Bob? It's not our job to break people. If God wants somebody broken, you keep your hands off and let God do that Himself. Hey, are you like a cruel ostrich? Are you being used as by the devil as a cruel instrument? Genesis 49:5 says this, instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. Habitations, what's that? It's where you live. Now folks, it ought to be so that the places where we live should not be places of cruelty. You daddies, listen to me now. If you're a man or half a man, you got a temper. But if you got the other half of that manhood, you're going to control it. The Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. It's talking about how you discipline them. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. Are you like a cruel tool of torture in the hands of the devil? Let's not allow ourselves to be instruments of cruelty. How? Temper? How? Jealousy? How? Teasing and mocking? How? Hatred? How? Gossip? How? A lack of mercy with people? Let's learn to be good Christians at church and at home. Both. Do you know that we behave ourselves best at church? And for those that have temper problems here, I can't imagine what it's like at home. We put our best foot forward down at the church house, but the real you is the person hanging around it. Your house. Our houses should not be homes of hell. That'd be spiritual. Get control of yourself. And I know, if I were preaching on sodomy, you're not a sodomite. You'd be shouting. If I were preaching on being a druggie, you're not a druggie. You'd be shouting. But this is the quietest sermon that I've preached in months. We like that outward appearance of deep Christianity, but we really need an inward presence of the virtues of God. When I read it, I said, why in the world would God take the time to mention that big, dumb bird called an ostrich? The demon-possessed ostrich. The Antichrist. According to Mrs. Owens. But once I got to looking at it, I figured it out. I guess the ostrich would probably prefer his name not to be in the book, but there's only one problem with that. He's an animal. You're not. So don't act like one. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.